I don't know if there is enough times that you can talk about methods or possible ways to draw near to God, because I don't think that there's any more important subject when it comes to our walk with Christ. And so we continue this idea of drawing near unto God. And I'd like to point you to the book of James chapter 4 and verse 6, where James says he gives more grace in the New King James. He gives more grace. You know, but in the New American Standard Bible, it says he gives a greater grace. And we could spend all kinds of time talking about grace, and you know, but when I think about grace, I think of God's steadfast love, the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. It's something that came down from heaven to us, and it'll never come to an end. And there are, when you get up every morning, it's new. When you walk to work or drive to work or go somewhere during the day, it's new. And when you come home at night and you rest your weary feet up on a chair, it's new. And when you go to bed at night and rise up in the morning again, it's new. In Lamentations chapter 3 at verse 22, we read, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. That's grace. It was God's grace that maintained the things in the garden when sin first entered into the world, and they were not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. God is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. And so we do hope in grace. We put our trust in the fact that God's grace is great. In fact, it is literally greater than our sin. And we don't want to misunderstand that. We pay for sin. There's a recompense for sin. But God's grace is great. And then when we think about it, I like to ask a question to everybody here in this room right now. Will you ever be closer to God than you are right now? Right now, as you're sitting in the pews, will you be closer to God than you are right now? Or are you closer to God today, tonight, than you were yesterday? Are you closer to God than you were last week? And I think that it's very possible that the answer to that question for many is no. It's very possible that many people, especially in the Lord's church, everywhere, there's people that are just, they never get closer to God. You know, they got that zeal, they were close to God in the beginning, and they got closer and closer, and after a while, it's kind of it goes from this uphill thing to just a steady line. Are you closer to God today, more so than you were yesterday? How close are you to God? And these are fair questions. Do you feel like you could be closer? And I hope you do. Have you ever known people that you know, they just seem to have it? It's just, you notice them, their demeanor and the way that they carry themselves and the joy that's in their heart, that refreshing substance that's within them that tells you they're really in a close relationship with God. You can tell people that are like that. When I preached at Norton, there was a fellow, Lamar. And Lamar, I always referred him as a guy that speaks Bible-ese. Every time you got in a conversation with him, it always turned to the Bible, which is wonderful. And it always turned to Jesus. It always turned to grace and mercy and the power of God. That's really awesome. And I've known people like that. I imagine you have too. But we all know people like that. Think about Abraham. James tells us Abraham was called the friend of God. Can you imagine that? How close do you need, will you be to God when God calls you a friend of God? Isn't that something amazing? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know, that's closeness. You know, you think about your own friends and relationships. Genesis chapter 17 at verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and he said, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me blameless and be blameless." Can you imagine God? "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me." That closeness. What about Moses? Moses was certainly close to God. The scripture tells us that Moses spoke, that the Lord spoke to Moses like a friend, face to face. And don't misunderstand that text. Moses wasn't looking into the face of God. He wasn't speaking eyeball to eyeball, but he was speaking as a friend to Moses. Wouldn't that be wonderful? God speaking right to you as a friend to a friend. That's just amazing. Joshua is another example from the scripture. Joshua, if you remember, Moses would be in the tent of the tabernacle and the glory of God was there. And it tells us in that same chapter there, Exodus chapter 33, it also refers to Moses speaking to God face to face. When Moses left that tent, what did Joshua do? Joshua, it tells us, Moses left and returned to the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, he was a young man and he would not depart from that tent. He wanted to be there. He wanted to be close to God. That's that mindset, that spirit that is so wonderful. And Enoch, he walked with God. And then he was not. Obviously, he had that close relationship. Elisha, or it should be Elijah. He was fed by ravens. He was fed by ravens. Can you imagine having God as your friend and you're hungry and He sends ravens to feed you? That's pretty friendly. That's pretty exciting and motivating. Mary was also someone who found that good place at the feet of Jesus. And she was there when you read about Mary. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard His words. She was close to Jesus. Not like Martha. Martha was distracted, but Mary, she just got right in there close and close to Jesus. John, remember who John was? He was the one that on the night that the Lord had instituted the Lord's Supper, he laid his head on the bosom of Jesus. That's close. And that's what we would drive for that. And when you think about those kinds of things, think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, obviously, he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus taught him about he received the instructions for the Lord's Supper from Jesus. His commands were given him through Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 1 and at verse 21, that Apostle Paul, he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He was wanting to be close to Jesus. In verse 23, he says, "I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ." He was a friend of God. He wanted that relationship. What is it that made all these different? What is it that caused, you know, this kind of a loving and genuine and close relationship with these individuals and their God? Well, I would put to you that there were three things that they had in common. They all had a desire. Paul had a desire. They all had determination. This is what I'm going to do and nothing's going to stop me. And they all had a humble spirit. And so when we think about it tonight, we ask the question, and what more can we do? We've already talked about many things that we can do to help aid us in drawing closer to God. But the first thing then of those three is we have to have a desire. We have to have the desire. We got to develop that desire. That has to be a part of our lives if we want to draw near to God. In James chapter 4 and at verse 8, James says again, "Draw near unto God and He will draw near unto you." There's a sense of a desire there. It's not a one-time objective. It's something that is ongoing day by day, moment by moment, as you sleep at night, as you wake in the morning. And in one sense, each time we read verse 8, wouldn't it be wonderful if we used that as a gravity to draw us closer to God? Every time I read verse 8, it's because I've studied something in Scripture. I'm just a little closer to God. I know a little bit more about my Savior, a little bit more about God. I think that would be just an awesome and wonderful thing. And certainly being closer than we are right now is the objective. In fact, without that desire, instead of drawing close to God, we draw further away from God. And so desire is critical in order to come to God. James said, submit to God. There's that requirement, that desire, something that's causing us to want. You know, you picture that strong desire you may have for anything. You may have a strong desire for a certain car. I used to have a 1968 Ford Torino convertible, GT convertible. I love that car. Wrecked it like 3 times. Sold it, and the guy that I sold it to totaled it twice. The car had a jinx. But I love that car. And I would desire to have that same car again. That was the car of my youth. Maybe it's a certain guy or a certain girl. You remember that feeling when you were, when you see somebody for the first time and that this comes up inside of you and you just want to be with that person. Maybe it's a kind of a friendship, or maybe it's a certain job that you desire and you're going to do everything you can to get that job or that position. Maybe it's a sport. Maybe you like to go fishing and you're going to do anything and everything to make sure that that's a part of your life. Could be football, basketball, baseball. But when you feel that desire and you can relate that to your relationship with God, you try to remember that role, how it felt. And that's that desire that you need to have to draw you near to God. If you want to be closer to God tomorrow than you are today, you have to have that desire. And we need to understand that as we do this, that desire of the flesh does not want you to draw near to God. The desire, in other words, the desire for sports and golf and all these things, that doesn't want you to draw near to God. They want to draw you away from God. And so we're not talking about any kind of desire. Our flesh desires worldly things, to be near physical things, temporary things, things that just barely satisfy. But we think of Paul in Galatians who said the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. The flesh is going to try to keep you away from God. It's going to let you desire, but it's not wanting you to desire the good things. Peter, he wrote, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So what's the secret? Paul gives us the answer when he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's your answer right there. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts. Don't do that. Just put on Jesus. And how do we put on Jesus? We develop a desire for study. We develop a desire to meditate. We develop a desire to be closer to God. And we need to draw closer and closer to God. The truth is that our flesh only hinders us. And when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, all things become new. Our spirit does require us to draw near to God. When we have the Spirit of God, turn to Philippians chapter 3 with me. And let's just read a little bit there. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 7 through 11. Just think about this as far as our desire to draw close to God. And listen to the Apostle Paul here. Philippians 3, he says, "But what things are gained to me, these things I count but loss." He's telling his flesh something. "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. This is putting on Christ. In order to put on Christ, you have to take off what the old man. You know, you get up, you're wearing your t-shirt and your jeans and everything, and you want to go to worship, and you decide you want to have a suit, you got to take the t-shirt and jeans off and put on the suit. We're talking about putting on Christ. He says, yet I indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's what our spirit desires when we put on Christ. To just get rid of everything else. Put it all behind us. Paul desired to be close to God. Desired to be close to God much more than anything in this world. Paul had a lot to give up when you read that. He had a lot of things to give up. You know, Paul, when we read him here in this text, earlier on in the text, in verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Put it off. And he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. That's something. The Apostle Paul was no slouch. He was the man in that sense. A Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But these things, he says, were gain to me. These I have counted loss for Christ. There's his desire. He had something better, that more excellence that comes through the knowledge of Christ, and that's what he desired. Paul's the one who said, I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And so we need to develop this desire if we want to get away from where we are now in our relationship with God and draw closer to God. Remember, what made it possible for Paul? He was willing to give up anything and everything. Anything and everything. And listen, when Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, when he was of the stock of Benjamin and a Jew, what was he giving up? Everything. Relationships, to the point where they no longer even wanted him around. They wanted to kill him. But Paul was willing to suffer that for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You know, if you don't have a desire, again, you'll never be any closer to God than you are right now. And now, the second point, you must be determined to draw near to God. Determination is so important. When we think about determination, you know, we can all think of something in our life. Maybe it was a certain grade in school and we were determined to get that grade and we studied and studied and studied and studied until our eyes bled. Maybe you were determined to reach a certain goal in life, a certain weight, a certain exercise. You know, maybe you wanted to be able to lift 400 pounds with one hand. And if you're determined, you probably would get there. Determination is a very powerful thing. And determination certainly helps us to draw near unto God. James says in chapter 4 and verse 7 that we need to submit to God. And when we think about submitting to God, cleansing our hands, he says, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. We must be determined to do those things. In verse 9, he says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness or to gloom. You know, we're not supposed to be Christians walking around and you know, with heavy, heavy hearts and gloom. We're people filled with joy, righteous, and we should be very happy because, you know, God gave us another day. God gives us breath. He shows us light. He shows us the world. He gives us the rain and the sun, and He shows us the glories of heaven, and that should make us happy. We know that He's with us always. That makes us happy. But when He says here to lament and mourn and weep, be serious and get determined. What do you really, really want? Do you want to be as close to God today as you were yesterday? Or do you want to be closer? Do you want to draw near unto God? Well, it's going to require determination. And part of that determination is simply resisting the devil. In other words, don't talk to the devil. I can't imagine how many times I've had discussions with people that, you know, they're trying to decide. The Scripture says, you know, adultery is a sin. Well, but is it really? If you're marriage, divorce, and remarriage, you can't do that except for certain situations. Well, but is that really true? And so that what you're doing is you're talking with the devil. Just listen to the Scripture and do what it says. You know, in some sense, we need to be thinkers, but we also need to trust in the Word of God. We need to let our ways go and rest upon His ways. Don't spend a lot of time talking to the devil. James simply makes it clear. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Cleanse your hands. Wash your hands. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And when we think about it, you cleanse yourself of every manner of sin. Don't talk with the devil. Remember what John taught? Yes, we're all sinners. Yes, we all fall short of the glory of God. But praise be to God that God gave us something that no one else on earth has. God gave us the ability to not continue in sin. He gave us the spiritual powers to wash our hands of sin, to turn away from sin in life, and not to walk in sin. That's the difference. That is the difference. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. You see, God shows us how to draw near to him. He shows us and he gives us these instructions. He gives us this power. And he tells us, you know, when it says you can't sin, it doesn't mean you can't sin. It means you can't continue on in sin. So if you're living in adultery, God gives you the power to stop that. If you're living with lust of the eyes, He gives you the ability to stop that. If you're living hand in hand with the devil, He gives you the ability to stop that because of the seed of God that is in us, especially through the Word. And so what do? We shouldn't shake hands with the devil. We should wash our hands of the devil. Flee from the devil. God says flee. He says run. He says get away. Whatever it takes. Cleanse yourself. Get your mind on the things from above. That's what Paul said. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. That's what we do when we're determined. You just keep focusing on Jesus. Set your mind on things above. So the Bible says run, flee, run away. If Satan is tempting you, flee from him. Run as fast as you can. Don't stop and talk with him. And be determined not to look back. You know, in Luke chapter 17 at verse 32... Jesus himself reminds us all about Lot's wife. You all remember what happened there, right? In Genesis chapter 19, God had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and he had instructed them to leave and don't look back. And the Scripture tells us that Lot's wife looked back behind him, and we all know what happened. You know, that's not cleansing your hands, that's talking with the devil. And we need to cleanse our hands. We need to run from sin. Saving your soul. You have to be determined to flee from the devil and his works. Don't look back. Determination is pressing on, not falling back. You remember Paul in Philippians 3 and 12, he says that I've already attained, not that I've already attained, Paul says, but I am already perfected. I press on, he says. I lay hold of that which is in Christ Jesus has also laid up for. He's pressing on, laying hold. His determination, his pressing on is like fighting for something. You know, I press on. I'm forgetting what's behind me. I'm pressing towards that goal, pressing forward, pushing myself to my limits to be able to win the prize like the runner in a race. They run and they run and they're running out of air. They're running out of strength. Their legs become rubber, but they keep on going because they want that prize. And they don't want that person passing them. They don't stop along the way to talk to the devil. Just push and push and push. That's what determination is. You fight against the fatigue. You fight against the weakness. You fight against the all these things. You disregard the pain and you just keep pushing on, pressing on, finding strength to get to that finish line. And that's how we draw close to God. That kind of determination. So you wake up one day and you feel like, I don't want to spend, I usually spend, 10 minutes every morning studying, but today I'm really tired. Well, press on. Press on. And I have a friend that has been talking to me, and he's kind of becoming a burden, and it's hard to just sit down and reason with him, but talk on. Press on. Reach for that goal. Don't give up. And you'll never be sorry, and you'll never be closer to God. But if you don't do that, you'll never be closer to God than you are right now. If you want to be nearer to God, you want to be close to Him, you do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And you never give up. You may have counted some things precious, but to have that determination to achieve there, to get that crown. Think of James in the book of James chapter 1 and at verse 12 when James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to those who love him. Just keep on going. Press on. The last point here, you must die to self. And this is no more or less important than the other three. But we need to die to self. James in chapter 4 and at verse 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Humbling ourselves means that we decrease our value and increase His value. We decrease ourselves. We decrease the view that we have of self and we increase the view that we have of the Lord. We increase the view that we have of God our Father. We increase the view that we have. And we need to do that. We need to die to self. And I think it's so critical and important to humbling ourselves to understand what that means. And this is the only way to esteem others greater than yourself, which is what Paul instructed. And if we're to do that with individuals, if we're to think of individuals as greater than ourselves, how should we think of God who created all things? How should we think of God who gives us grace in abundance? How should we think of God and Jesus Christ who came down and died upon a cross for us? If we want to be closer to God than we are right now at this moment in time, we need to die to self. It's the only way. We need to lift up Christ in our lives and drop ourselves down. Remember what John the Baptist said in John chapter 3 and at verse 30. He must increase. Jesus has to increase. For Jesus to increase, I have to decrease. That's humbling myself in the sight of the Lord. John wasn't a scholar. John wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a Sadducee. He wasn't part of the Sanhedrin. He ate locusts and honey. wandered in the wilderness. He probably, you know, I imagine he wasn't a very educated man. I think I remember reading somewhere he didn't go to seminary. I've had people ask me that, you know, oh, you're a preacher, what seminary did you go to? And I go, right here. Oh, well, yeah, but what school? I mean, how'd you get your degree? Where's your, you know, your license to preach? Right here. People don't get that. They really don't. You know, I think I remember, not only did he not go to seminary, but I think I remember somewhere that he never got past the fifth grade. John the Baptist. But he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was somebody who could die to self and raise up Christ. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. He was a prophet. He was given a commission by God to be the precursor, the forerunner to Jesus Christ Himself. And he could have been pretty puffed up. God selected me. I'm a prophet. God spoke to me. I'm the one crying in the voice of the wilderness, but no. He said, He must increase and I must decrease. And that's what we must do if we want ever to draw closer to God. And when we think about him, he understood. He needed to humble himself in the sight of God. The Lord. And so what does this mean for us? How do we apply it? Every day Christ has to increase. He has to increase in our life to where our understanding of Him, that excellency of knowledge of Jesus Christ, when we put on Christ day by day by day, He gets bigger and we get smaller. When we're weak, He's strong. And He's always there. That's what it means. And if we don't do that, we'll never be any closer to God than we are right now. Right now. By declining himself, by humbling himself, lowering himself, John was able to draw close to God. Paul knew this was true. The Apostle Paul, when we just read in Philippians 3 and 70, he's just going to give up everything to put on Christ. Counts it all rubbish, all dung. It's just trash. Human waste for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I don't think Paul had any trouble drawing close to Christ. And I think he had that desire, that motivation, and that drive. And I believe that Paul humbled himself. He gave it all up. And we can also. Paul said, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Philippians chapter 3, 3:7. Everything. And so you notice again, these are the things that Paul further goes on to explain that when we look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 7. And look at what he says there. He says, let this mind be in you. Okay. I think we all get that, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. He actually decreased, humbled himself, coming down from heaven. Just for you, just for me. He took on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus did it. He's our example. Paul did it. He's a good example. James is giving us good instruction. If you ever want to be closer to God than you are right now, at this exact moment in time, right where you sit, you need to decline and decrease yourself. Here is what I believe is a very true statement. You can't get close to the high and mighty God. Remember what God called himself when he said, come to Abraham and walk with me. I'm the high and mighty God. You can't get close to the high and mighty God if you're high and mighty yourself. Humbleness. Humbleness. Determine. John 1:7. Determine to walk in the light as He in the light. As He's in the light, that'll cause you to have fellowship with God. And then and only then can we draw closer to God than we are right now. And you can get closer to Jesus. You can draw close to God. Just don't be like Martha. Don't be distracted by all these things in the world. Be like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to the Word. We need to humble ourselves like that. And let's also remember in closing that, you know, there is great reward in drawing closer to God every day. Every day. Every moment. Every breath. Every opportunity. When we draw closer to God. And that greatness comes in the form of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Our citizenship. When we draw closer to God and we continue this all our lives and we just continue to be conformed into Him, in His image, we continue not to be transformed by this world or conformed to this world, but be transformed by in our minds through the Spirit of God, we have a citizenship waiting for us in heaven. And we eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, He's going to come one day and He's going to transform this body, this lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. My friends, if we want to draw close to God, we need to be able to do those three things. We need to desire to draw close. We need to be determined to draw close. And we need to have humbleness of heart, which will enable us to draw close and closer and closer to God. I can't think of any better subject again, because we all need it. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you've been studying the Bible for 6 months, a year, 2 years, or for 40 or 50 years. There is always room to draw closer, to draw nearer to God. In our hymnals tonight, we have the song of invitation, song number 644, Zion's Call. When we think of that call, that sweetly ringing over land and sea, and it's binding us look to realms above, to look closer to God, to draw closer to God. And that's what we want to do. We want to let the list to the call of love, Zion's call. Have you answered Zion's call? Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you put on Christ? Have you been added to the body of Christ? If not, tonight's a night to do that. And if you need to be restored back to Christ, if you've fallen in some way in your relationship with Him through sin, He's always there. And determine in your heart to do those things. If you have need tonight, we invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.